Chapter 13, Indonesia. After the hectic time spent in Singapore, the pace of our days quickly slowed down on the lazy island of Bali. We spent most of them just relaxing in a big house we had rented and then going out in the evenings. We would stay on the island for a while, so we were in no hurry with getting on the mats. It felt nice to have a little vacation with my friends. Eventually, the busy city and nightlife of Kuta, the largest city on the island, became too much for us, and we decided it was time for a bit of adventure. We had rented some motorbikes and felt really comfortable on them, so we thought it would be a great idea to go on a little road trip. A girl in a bikini and white sunglasses passed me at high speed as we drove out of town. Her long blonde hair was blowing in the wind as she pulled the throttle, and she had a pink surfboard attached to the side of her bike. "We need to try this surfing one day," I shouted to Eric and Liam behind me, who were also finding it equally hard to focus on traffic. It took us 4 days to make it all the way around the island. We spent hours and hours on the bikes, driving by beautiful rice fields, through dense forests, and along deserted beaches. A gang of monkey thieves stole the key to my motorbike at a roadside temple, and it was pure luck that they, 15 minutes and 2 sweaty palms later, dropped it from the tree they were lounging in. We found cheap rooms along the coast where we spent the hot nights with no air conditioning. One night, while Eric and Liam were sleeping, I went out to find an internet cafe. I needed to get in touch with people in the Philippines to plan my visit there. On my way to the little bamboo hut with a few old computers, I drove along a deserted road with no lights. I stopped in the middle of it and turned off the engine. The inky black night was pitch dark and I couldn't see my own hands in front of me. There was no sound of either humans or machines to be heard. The wind had completely stopped and a few animals in the plants around me were the only thing that broke the silence. I was seriously far away from home. At the same time, I didn't feel away at all. I searched for the slightest bit of homesickness inside of myself, but there was nothing. I was totally comfortable right there in the middle of nowhere. Driving back to the place we stayed, a bat hit me right under the chest and flapped around on me with its disgusting hairy wings. I screamed like a little girl, instantly regretting everything about feeling comfortable and just wanted to go home right away. A guy called Hoki had emailed me. He was on vacation in Bali and following my blog, he invited me to pay the mat fee for us for an open mat training session. We got up early and raced the last piece of road back to Kuta, driving behind big trucks for hours and hours, zigzagging past them. We made it to the gym just in time and met up with Hoki. He was a nice guy who just got his blue belt and was really interested in jiu-jitsu. He asked me after a round of sparring what I thought he should work on. I often feel like someone is better, not so much because of their technique, knowledge, or physique, but because they have the tactical overview to always stay one move ahead of their opponent. Getting that is only a matter of spending time on the mats and maturing in the game. Hoki was like that. He was on the right track and just needed more time. Danny, a friend of Jonathan, came by together with a Japanese guy that had a great wrestling game. It was nice finally to be back on the mats, but my cardio felt really, really bad from breathing in all that dirty exhaust on the roads for days. A small Portuguese guy, Kiko, was giving me a really hard time on the mats. He was strong and fast with very good technique. He tapped me with an arm-in guillotine and I asked curiously how he had done it. He had a lot of details on it that I had never seen before, and I couldn't wait to get home and share it with my fellow guillotine nerds in the gym. After a few more rounds, I lay flat on the mat, trying to catch my breath. Kiko and I talked for a while. Like most of the other guys we had met, he had moved to Bali for the surfing and turned out to be a super cool guy. He promised to take us out in the water one day. Surfing was on my to-do list for the trip, and I knew it would be a challenge for me to get in that scary ocean. The local black belt had just finished a small class next to us and asked me if I wanted to go for a round. Everyone was watching, and I sort of expected that it was going to be a tough role. I had just tapped everyone in the house, and now I had reached the boss of the level. He was a tall, slim guy who had started training with Hickson all the way back in 1996. I sat down in my guard and started out really easy, going for a few sweeps, but never following through. His base was great, and his legs very flexible. His shins felt sharp as he pressed them into my thighs and put pressure on my guard. He passed and grabbed my wrist in a weird way that I had never seen before and completely ruined my side control bottom game. Then he took my back and crammed his forearm across my teeth before I had a chance to tap out. I was bleeding from my mouth and went to the bathroom to wash it. I looked myself in the eyes in the mirror. My teeth were dark red. The pressure across my mouth had pressed them into the flesh beneath my lips and made 3 deep holes. I cleaned it with water and went back on the mat. Hard rolls with risk of injury have their time and place and were inevitably going to be part of my trip. There was no way I was going to get around it, and so I might just as well accept it. I was riding out the storm for a few more rounds and, of course, came out alive on the other side. We shook hands. My teeth hurt and I imagined how it would be in Brazil. There would probably be a horde of hungry, aggressive black belts taking turns on cranking my joints in all thinkable and unthinkable directions, not caring a bit about when I tapped out. I would have to train hard to prepare for that. Eric and Liam were lying in front of the big fan, totally exhausted after a few rounds. Eric had only slept for 2 rounds in the warm room we had rented up on the West Coast. Beaten and tired, we drove back to the house and jumped straight in the pool. I just realized that I haven't washed or changed these shorts for a full week today, Liam said with a definite sense of pride in his voice as we stood there in the water. It was a beautiful anniversary. Next day, it was my 29th birthday, and what better to do on a day like that on a beautiful exotic island than go training? We met up with Kiko and Danny in the gym and rolled for a few hours. The weather was great, and my body felt much better than the day before. I had rested and been breathing primarily fresh air during the morning. Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing loudly on the stereo, and the warm tropical air flowed through the big open windows onto us on the mats. Everything felt better. Danny asked me what my plans were for my day as we sat around on the mat after a few hours of hot rolls. I hadn't planned anything, but when he suggested that he could help us try surfing down on the beach, I didn't need to think twice about it. There was no need to shower. We jumped straight onto the motorbikes and drove through town to a spot on the beach where we could rent some boards. Danny pointed out a young local salesman on the beach who was trying to impress a Japanese couple in beach chairs with his language skills. He had apparently taught himself English, Russian, and Japanese just from working on the beach, and the couple looked like they would definitely buy a bracelet from him after that show. Danny picked out a few boards for us at a local rental place. I looked at the water. The waves weren't big, but I didn't feel safe about going into them. Swimming had never been my thing, and definitely not in the ocean. As a kid, I was always extremely skinny, so staying afloat demanded a lot of work for me. We had weekly swimming lessons in school, but it was so hard for me that it never caught my interest. I had always envied those who enjoyed being in the water, and I knew that feeling confident there was a life skill I needed to acquire. I should have learned that 20 years earlier, but I guess it was never too late. My plan was that surfing could maybe be a good way to learn to be confident in the ocean. Danny laid the boards down in the sand and showed us the basics of standing up and how to position ourselves. It felt simple on land, but I knew it would be nothing like that in the water. My heart was pounding. The shallow water would have a very hard time killing me that day, but I was still afraid to be out there. I had been in the sea only a few times where I couldn't touch the bottom, and I never felt good about it. There was no way around it, though. Baby steps, I told myself, and walked out into the water with a pounding heart. The little waves crashed in front of us, and I desperately tried to jump over them so I wouldn't get water in my eyes or mouth. Danny explained that we should stay away from the red flags that indicated the position of the currents that could pull us out to sea. My eyes were fixed on them for a good 30 minutes after he said that. I remembered the Rastafarian lifeguard in Malaysia who told stories about the people who got sucked out by the rip current. I didn't want any of that, so I made sure to stay near Danny, who was an experienced surfer and swimmer. My feet could touch the bottom where we stood, and I appreciated that. I could feel the currents under me, pulling my feet along the sand, together with empty chips bags, used condoms, and all sorts of other trash. I looked at Liam on his board about 20 meters away from me. Danny gave him a push in front of a wave coming in. He tried to stand up, but slipped and fell under. His head popped up with a big smile. He laughed and waved to me. I couldn't hear what he shouted. Suddenly, Kiko told me to quickly get ready. I scrambled to get onto the board, looked back, and saw a wave coming towards me. I paddled as much as I could and focused on keeping my balance on the board. The wave felt fast and powerful as it hit me. Even though it was only a small children's wave, I had never felt the power of nature like that before, and it stunned me for a second. I could hear Kiko shout behind me that I should try and stand up. I had forgotten all about that. I put one knee up but couldn't keep my balance, and the board flipped, throwing me into the water. Immediately, I thought I had to try again. And we tried, many times. Every time I slipped, went for the wrong wave, or couldn't keep my balance when I tried to stand up. Then suddenly, it happened. The wind hit my face as the wave pushed me forward. My knuckles were white, holding onto the board, and after a few seconds of trying to keep it straight in the water, I went for it. One knee up, front foot, back foot, I held my breath and stood up. The wave gently slid me about 7 meters towards the beach before parking my board in the sand. It was the shortest, smallest surf ever, but still my heart raced in excitement to the extent that I almost couldn't breathe. I turned around. Danny was clapping and gave me a thumbs up. I was super proud. I felt like I had just hit my first submission in sparring as a fresh white belt who had only trained for a week on another white belt who had only trained for a day. It was utterly amazing. I had never really thought much about surfing, other than how insane it was that people were sitting on boards in shark-infested waters, making themselves look like delicious seals. In that moment, I realized that this thing would haunt me like jiu-jitsu had haunted me since the first time I ever tried to roll. It was the best birthday present I had ever given myself. Feeling high on my newly found hobby and hopes of becoming less afraid of the sea, we were back in the house getting ready for our last night out. Jonathan wrote to me on my Skype chat. The connection was too slow for calls. He had arranged to come to the Philippines and hang out with me on his way to Hawaii. He had a lot of friends in Manila, so it would be no problem to find places to train there. A guy called Steven had also emailed me and invited me to come to his gym. I could even sleep on the mats if I needed a place to crash. Danny went out with us and brought a few of his local friends. I had bought a colorful cap saying Jiggy Jig. I had no idea what it meant, but assumed it was just a surf brand. That was until one of the guys told me that it meant fucky fuck. Then I decided right away to go buy 5 more the next day. Danny's friends were pro surfers, and it was hard not to admire their life. I had never really thought of surfing as a sport, but these guys were like black belts who had trained since they were kids and put enormous amounts of time into learning their craft. I was really inspired by my experience in the water that day, and was eager to see where it would take me on the rest of my trip.